It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Hope you're all doing well. Some interesting stuff coming out about Manchester United this morning. Could Mazraoui be heading to AC Milan? That, to me, would be a huge mistake. But within the confines of how United operate now, and we've got some very big insights coming in on why United didn't go Fernandes and why Man United won't spend over £80 million. And apparently, it's logical. Apparently, we've been indoctrinated so much as a fan base now that we should understand why we won't give a player under 200 grand a week. And we should understand why we won't pay over £70 million for a player anymore. Screw that for a game of blockbusters. We'll delve into that as well. And if we're looking at selling people like Mazraoui, then we truly are Everton. We truly are lost. We'll delve into that as well. We've also got a little bit about Baleba, but let's start off with and Mitra as well. Good point. And Scott as well. Good point, Joker. But I want to start off with, not England, no, that's a different channel. England, Argentina, Wednesday, very interesting. But we might have a little bit of time to talk about Mainoo at the end, because let's leave that for a little bit. But latest on midfield recruitment for Manchester United is we're probably not expecting a significant day today, but next week will be very big for Manchester United. It is July the 12th. In a week's time, it will be July the 19th. Calendars with Goldbridge. But it's a significant week for Manchester United because we've only got 7 weeks left in the window and we basically need to do about seven deals when you think about outgoings and incomings as well. So they have got to get moving. The latest around Gomez and Kone is that talks have certainly taken place with Kone. Gomez, I would suspect they probably have as well, but I don't have that info. And we've got a decision to make. But you know what? I was thinking about this before we go on to the next thing. What are your thoughts on this? Because realistically, as much as I like Kone, and I do, and as much as some people like Gomez, and I respect that, we are still operating within that Everton model we were talking about yesterday. You know, Everton's record signing is 50 million quid. That's sort of what Man United are operating around now, 40, 50 million pounds. If we do sign Kone, great, but we are getting mugged off. Santos, 48 million pound cheap wages. Kone, 45 million pounds cheap wages. As much as we're going, go and get Kone or go and get Gomez, and I understand that, remember, these, you know, we are still cheerleading for signings that the club are going, yeah, look at them arguing it out between Kone and Gomez. And we've already bought one player for 48 million pounds and given him cheap wages, and they're arguing about another one. It is true, I'm more than happy with Kone at this stage, but that would be two of our three significant midfielders for less than 50 million pounds on about 100 grand a week. You know, we are getting mugged off on a supposed massive summer where we're going to compete for big, big things. So look, I think with Kone, let's just wait and see what happens. I don't get the feeling that United are ready to go bang. And the big question is, why have they not said anything public about Ederson? My information is, probably not today. They haven't announced Santos officially yet, and the club are reeling a little bit in the sense of the Ederson thing is really difficult to answer, and there's a lot of people wanting answers, and the Santos thing is meant to be a big positive. So they're sort of in a bit of a PR nightmare at the moment, where do you put something out about Ederson, which is ridiculously under scrutiny, or do you put something out of Santos, which is ridiculously positive when you haven't addressed the Addison thing? So United are sort of working through how to deal with that publicly. They may not say anything about Ederson. They may just leave it, but I think they will put something out there. Essentially, I'm sure they will. Mazraoui to AC Milan, not possible. Amorim haven't used him at all, says Tio. So this is coming in from Matteo Moretto, who is a decent journalist, works alongside Romano. He's saying that Mazraoui is a player Ruben Amorim really likes and could become a possibility for AC Milan. No official talks yet, but he's a name to keep an eye on to Manchester United in relation to Mazraoui. Now, look, what worries me about a story like this is it's a bad idea, because we saw this with James Garner a few years ago, and it's another symptom of And I want to bring this in, actually. This works really well. So I saw this in the Manchester Evening News today. And it was from Tyrone Marshall, who works at the Manchester Evening News, on why Man United are finding it so difficult to recruit midfield players. And he said this, look, the answer is this. Man United could have signed Matheus Fernandes for 85 million and paid around $200,000 to $250,000 a week to get the deal done. But that doesn't fit within the budget they have for their, and it would wreck their wage structure. It's hard to argue against that approach when we've seen that United be aggressive in the past only for those deals to fail and the players prove impossible to shift. United remain confident they will sign players they want this summer and they still have options, but obviously a desire to be stricter with what they pay means they will occasionally miss out on players. I mean, what a load of shit. It's hard to argue against an approach where Manchester United, one of the biggest names in world football, has a wage structure with a limit of $200,000 a week. It's hard to argue against that. It's fucking easy to argue against that. It's an open fucking door. What? It's hard to argue against Man United pulling out of deals when it's over $200,000 a week, when they've made mistakes in the past. Mate, look, if my dad marries an absolute witch and then gets divorced, then he said, I'm never going to get married again, I'd say you're an idiot, Dad. You've got plenty of years left in the tank. Go and find yourself a lovely partner. Don't worry about the mistake of the past. But this is the problem with United. They guilt trip us with bollocks. Oh, we made mistakes in the past, so we won't do it again. Hold on a minute. In the past, we did need a right winger, a midfielder. Just because you bought the wrong ones doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and go, oh, well, you're fucked up in the past, so don't try now. I mean, that's basically what we're meant to sit here and go, well, you can't blame them for making mistakes in the past and not wanting to try again. Don't worry about it. You were shit in the past and now you're shit now. You just see, United. And this is the propaganda bollocks you get. Some of our fans sit there and go, I agree. We shouldn't pay over $200,000 a week for a player because in the past we did it. It went wrong. So why bother? Why bother? You know what? I went to work yesterday. I didn't enjoy it. I'm not going today. Why bother? What's the point? I don't see the point. Oh, I got out of bed yesterday. I didn't really like it. So I'm just going to lie in bed today and not brush my teeth or have a wash. Well, what's the point? It was a bad day yesterday. I mean, it's such a shit logic for life and football, isn't it? You made a mistake in the past, but that was the right path. You made a mistake. You got on a horse, you tried to win the race, you fell off at the first hurdle. Well, I'm not going to try again. Fuck that. And I think you'd all applaud me for it. I fell off. I'm not very good. I won't try again. I mean, come on. Are we really saying that we're not going to pay over $200,000 a week anymore because we did it in the past and it didn't work? What about if you pay someone $100,000 a week and it doesn't work? Oh, that's okay because it's only $100,000 a week. Look at what Arsenal are doing. Look at what Liverpool are doing. Look at what Man City are doing. Look at what Spurs are doing. This bullshit needs calling out. And when going back to Mazraoui, this is my big issue. If in the past we sell people like James Garner because we need to bring money in, we're just fucking Everton. I mean, we literally gave Everton James Garner. And what worries me about Mazraoui is I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's a little bit like Martinez. Remember Martinez before the summer? It was around a few journalists. Oh, Martinez. Martinez might be a bit shit. It might be time to keep Maguire and Shaw and move Martinez on. Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about it on the podcast. Lads, you know, with Martinez, I'm thinking he's a little bit dodgy. It might be time to cash in on Martinez and, you know, stick with Shaw and Maguire. Yeah, you've sort of been told by the club this might happen. So let's start the ball rolling on... Let's get Martinez out. Yeah, let's not get Martinez out. I mean, fucking brilliant for Argentina last night, as much as I want them out. Brilliant for Argentina last night. Looks like one of the best defenders in world football at the moment. But only 2 months ago, the propaganda was around Martinez. Maybe it's time to move Martinez on, yeah? He might fucking leave us to go to Real Madrid the way he's playing. So what worries me about Mazraoui is Joshua Zirkzee, Mason Mount, Luke Shaw rolling into training with a smile and a bloody boot bag. All three of them need fucking off, if we're being ruthless. But Mazraoui, who is a really consistent player at the right age, who can play multiple positions, and is better than Deleu and Shaw. Oh, there's interest there. Let's cash in. That's Everton. That's what I mean about Everton, right? That is, well, he is a good player, but there's money. that there's 20, 30 million pounds there. That's what worries me about the Mazraoui story. And I agree with GGMU. Don't sell Mazraoui. It's a bad idea. But United need to sell someone, and there's money there. And this is how mid-table clubs behave. They go, oh, let's sell somebody we don't really want to sell because we can't sell the shit that we really do want to sell. So we'll have to monitor that Mazraoui one. But he's actually a player I'm quite looking forward to coming back. And if I was Michael Carrick, I'd be going, he's just played in the World Cup at right back, left back and centre back. He played against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge with Heaven, because every other fucking centre back was injured or suspended. Played fantastically well at centre back in the Premier League. He can play left back, he can play right back. He is literally, probably, arguably in our top three defenders. I know Carrick doesn't pick him that often, but Carrick doesn't pick Heaven. You know, whatever. Carrick's judgment maybe needs calling out a little bit, but that's not the point. The point is, you don't cash in on Mazraoui just to bring a bit of money in. It'll piss me right off. And this is what worries me about. We're clearly going to do that with Vitek. He's clearly going to get cashed in on. And I do worry when I heard Andy Mitten the other day talking about United want to buy players or something to the effect of Man United want to buy players with sell-on value. You know, we are walking down the Everton RB Leipzig pathway if that's going to happen. So just be wary of that. But look, I do not buy into United aren't buying midfielders this summer because they've got a wage budget they need to stick to. And it's hard to argue against that when they've seen United do it in the past and make mistakes. Bullshit.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bullshit. You know, absolute bullshit. So we don't buy Elliot Anderson because he might flop. We don't buy Mateus Fernandez because he might flop. We don't buy Tonali because he might flop. Well, what are you buying instead? Prospects that aren't ready. I mean, look, the club can do what they want and we can call it out. But the people who support this nonsense make me laugh. Well, I agree with it. We just can't keep paying these wages anymore. Why? Why? Is your mortgage being paid if we don't pay a player over 200 grand a week? Are you getting a better holiday if we don't pay more than 200 grand a week? Is your season ticket being halved in price if we only pay 200 grand a week? Who does it benefit having a lower wage bill? The Glazers. You know what? Shock horror. I bloody wish we had the biggest wage bill in the world. I wish we had the biggest wage bill in the universe. Yeah? I wish we had the biggest wage bill on record. I couldn't give a fuck. What difference does it make to me? Because the chances are, if we've got the biggest wage bill in the world, we've probably got some of the best players in the world. So you can shove your the right approaches to go with a wage structure of 200 grand a week right up your arse. I wish we'd go out and buy players for £100 million every fucking summer and give them 300 grand a week. Because the chances are, we won't be signing Jordan Henderson. We will be signing Tonali. Sue me. I'm sorry. I wish we did have the biggest wage bill in the league. It doesn't make me run for the tissues in the Financial Times and lock myself in the bathroom when I hear that we won't pay people over 200 grand a week. Rubbish. If that excites you, get into your maths class, qualify, do your A-levels and fuck off to university and be an accountant. I'm a football fan. End of. Also a little bit on the Rashford situation in the Manchester United. Manchester Evening News. If Man United do manage to offload Rashford, then there is a chance that they use that money to sign a left winger and they do like people like Somerville and Ndiaye. Look, Tottenham beat us to Fernandes and Tonali. They're now moving on Kroupi in the next week from Bournemouth. I mean, Tottenham are literally having the summer transfer window most of us would have liked. You know, Tonali, Fernandes, and now they're going for Kroupi. I think many of you would have dreamed of that, not even dreamed of it, gone logically. I quite like that. I quite like that summer transfer window. Fernandes, Tonali, and let's go for Kroupi. This is Spurs transfer window. And Van Heek. Some people would like Van Heek as well. So Spurs transfer window is looking a lot like, I think, what a lot of you would like. Man United are going, well, we might go for Somerville if we can move Rashford on. Where's Rashford at the moment? Well, sat on the bench in America. When's he coming back? About a month. So we've got to sit here for a month, hoping no one goes in for Somerville, hoping we move Rashford on, and then we can go for Somerville, who will not have a pre-season, and will be Man United signing. I mean, come on. Come on. And I do agree with Mustang. I would want Nusa as well. But it also goes on to say that when it comes to are Man United scared of buying big players, this is what Manchester Evening says. Manchester News says, I'm not sure there is a particularly new development that United is scared of buying big players. They could and possibly should have gone for Declan Rice before Arsenal did. Maybe Harry Kane as well. It's not so much big name players that are the issue now. Nobody can say Mateus Fernandes is a big name player. And had Tchouaméni left, Man United would have been pushing hard for him. It's more about value. United have become more diligent in the transfer market, and that stance can be a difficult one to hold when the prices are going up. Basically, we're fucking idiots. I mean, that answer sort of sums it up. Are Man United scared of going for big name signings? It's not really about that. It's just that they're completely and utterly clueless about the market. Basically, what that's saying is it's hard for Man United to buy players when they're not available or the price is too much. So ultimately, we're walking into John Lewis to buy a TV thinking we're going to get a really good TV for 500 quid and the starting price is a grand. That's Man United's big problem, isn't it? And again, it's embarrassing. You know, we're walking into a market with not enough money. And then we're going, well, we don't think that's right. And everyone else is going, yeah, move out the queue because I'm queuing up to get my new TV. That's sort of Man United. We've walked into the bloody shop to get a new TV for the World Cup. We've only got 500 quid. The starting price is a grand. We're going, that's not fair, that's not fair. And security are going, can you move aside, please? There's people who actually want to pay a grand for this. In fact, some people are paying 2 grand. And we're sort of like going, yeah, fans agree with us, and it's hard to agree with you because the team needed massive investment and teams like Spurs and everyone else are buying players and you want us to go, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. Fuck, not fair. Life's not fair. You know, you get shit or get off the potty, you know. If you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. Yeah? One up, you know, that's a different one. So I find it very hard to excuse this. And I find the symptomatic sympathy that we're meant to, you know, have for multi-billionaires who put the club into debt as well. I find it very hard to be sympathetic to billionaires. I find it very hard to be sympathetic to a club so that revenue is much bigger than a Spurs. You know, ultimately, we make more money than Spurs. We're a bigger club than Spurs. We're in the Champions League and they're not. We're owned by billionaires who've got loads of fucking personal wealth. And they're sat there going, well, we can't pay more than 200 grand a week and we don't want to pay that for a transfer fee, but Spurs will. I find it very hard to go, well, I sort of agree with that shit approach. I really find it difficult. I really do. But look, the proof will be in the pudding. And I think that, in essence, this model is an Everton model. And I've said it a few times. And when you look at it, our unwillingness to spend money will be a hindrance. It's just about how much of a hindrance it is. I mean, look, they want to build a stadium. Maybe fifth place is what they're looking at. But, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Diligent about value, says Emily Derry. Try cheap. We look at the size of the price tag rather than what the price tag is on. This board would buy a Fiat Panda for 50k rather than pay 100k. Well, I do agree, Emily, as well, because you can say that Mateus Fernandes is overpriced at 85 million. And you can say that Elliot Anderson is overpriced at 116 million. But then you'll pay 50 for Andre Santos, who is also overpriced. Because, and you know, he's not a starter for Chelsea and they only paid £12 million for him 3 years ago. But he's not overpriced because he's under limit. So they spin their own lies, basically. They don't want to pay £85 million for Mateus Fernandes because they don't like the wage. They don't want to pay 116 million for Anderson because they don't want to pay over 100 million pounds. But they will pay over the price for Santos because it's under 60. So they sort of get caught up in their own lies because we have overpaid for Santos. Doesn't mean he's a bad player, but we have overpaid. But then on the other hand, they'll say, well, we don't want to overpay there. It's not about overpaying. You just don't want to pay over 70 million quid, do you? Things have gone from bad to worse with this club. Mark, thanks for keeping my mental health well, says Mikey. Thanks for your super chat, pal. We're trying to sell someone who hasn't flopped. Well, that's what you have to do, Trigger, when you can't sell the flops. We need to buy fullbacks and not sell them. I can see the treatment room full of the usual suspects, especially with no international tournaments to play for, says Emily Derry. Cashing in on Mazraoui is stupid. He had a brilliant World Cup, says Rajaf. Well, I really hope that we don't do it. But, you know, you do worry about United when they've got to get money in. United are like England. Players are supposedly world-class, but crap football shows they're not. They can scrap wins for fun, but it's not sustainable, says Marlowe. Every time you settle for mediocrity, you move further forward. Shame the Man United hard crew won't see in Bellingham the reason you have to spend big and why the bit that matters, says S-Clad. Amrim should show some decency and sign his golden boy Delow, says Marlowe. Do you think Mateus Fernandez has been relegated twice with two teams, two more wages than many? I don't know what you're talking about there. So basically you're saying because Mateus Fernandez has been relegated, we shouldn't sign him. Roy Keane got relegated. Knowing the board, our next midfield signing will... that's just another bot, isn't it? Let's get real. I'll call it how it is. Knowing the board, our next midfield signing will be our last. We'll start the season on a high, says Irish Ghost. And our other teams not getting mugged off paying double or treble. They're all humans and it makes me laugh. Another bot. Thank you, Ryan. Stephen, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you. Sorry, I will call you a bot when you come on here and justify what I've just torn apart in the last 20 minutes. You know, we should have a wage bill of 200 grand a week. We shouldn't buy players for over 60 million pounds. We should applaud this being Everton. I mean, if you're applauding that, I don't genuinely think you know anything about the club, because look at the success and how that was built in the past, going out and buying the best players. I want to talk about Maynou very quickly. Some people are getting really stressed about Maynou in England. I don't care. Harry Maguire's not in the England team. I don't care. Rashford sitting on the bench. I don't care. Maynou's not being used. I don't care. England is very separate to United for me. I don't need England to pick United players. And I don't cry if Man United players don't get picked for England. Two very, very separate things. Amrim didn't pick Maynou. How did that go? Carrick picked Maynou. How did that go? Tuchel is in a World Cup semi-final. He hasn't picked Maynou. You know, it doesn't matter. I really don't care. I think people want to support England, but want Man United players in it. They're two very separate things. I really don't care. International football, Premier League football, Man United's my priority anyway. Maynou hasn't played any football. Is that not a good thing? You know, Maynou's not playing 120 minutes in humid Miami. He's just having a bit of pre-season. So there's a positive to that as well. I'm not really that stressed about it. Would I have used Maynou a little bit more? Yeah. But England are in a World Cup semi-final. I mean, it's just not that deep. Problem isn't big wages. Problem is crap players on wages. Transformative players are worth it, says Sam. Exactly. Ryan says, Mane, Salah, Firmino, Fabinho. God, Ryan's a bot. Boring. Why doesn't Spurs need to sell to buy, says Marlowe. Exactly. We have Delow. I'm selling Mazraoui. He's looser, says Jason Wilcox. Shader up over Nusa. Much more promising and better World Cup. Bench Nusa against England. Are we much cheaper? I think there's a bit of a problem with Shader up, Marlowe. I'm not going to delve into it here, but I think he's got a bit of a problem in his past where he got arrested, where I don't think Man United would go anywhere near him, to be honest. We'll leave it there. If we sell Mazraoui, then I no longer exist. Please do something, Mark. I need my handsome King Kev in my life, says Mazraoui. Thank you. Okay, right. I've got a shoot. I've got a lot on today, but we are back with the 8 o'clock show. And obviously, if anything goes on, we will be back with you as well. Fantastic quick fire show this morning. Really appreciate that. Lots of energy. Let's see what happens. As a huge community, surely we could stage a demonstration, says Matt. Okay, I'm not going down that road, Matt, to be honest. There's no alternative to the Glazers or Ineos, so demonstrations won't do anything. The only viable way to change things at United is to have a viable option to replace them. You can't just sit and protest and then go, what do we want? We don't know, because there's nothing there. When do we want it? Now. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.